Time for us to have a look at what's happening in 702 land. And earlier on this month, the iconic Makgabo Helen Sidibe's Ntlo Etsamayang came to arrived at the UJ Art Gallery. It's showing until the 17th of May. And it was an exhibition, it is an exhibition, that was co-curated by Gabriel Bard as well as Prof. Kim Berman. And it honors the remarkable artistic journey and commitment to indigenous knowledge systems of Makgabo Helen Sidibe. And to tell us more about the exhibition, we are joined by the co-creator of Ntlo Etsamayang, Gabriel Bard, joins us this morning. Gabriel, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for your time. So tell us about the idea, the big idea, the thinking for this exhibition that's now showing at the UJ Art Gallery.
Well, so I suppose where to start this. This exhibition is a result of nearly 30 artworks being recovered more than 30 years ago from Sweden, where Makgabo Matabidi would have taken these works to Sweden to communicate her kind of artistic expression and lived reality under the apartheid system to Swedish people. And it was there that they were lost. And for over 30 years, last year, miraculously, they were recovered in the very same school that she was based at during her time there.
Mm-hmm.
And so these works have been recovered, and we're now celebrating Matabidi as a walking house in Ntlo Etsamayang, a kind of a walking house for communication. And that's really what we're celebrating, is a return, a homecoming. But more than that is this kind of prophetic message of her as a walking house, sharing her grandmother's history and ancestry.
Mm. And so these works, they go missing. We lose them for about 32 years. They've now been recovered. Have they been seen in public before this exhibition opened, or is this the first time that they're being available to the public?
This would be the very first time that the public would be able to see these works, having been created. She finished this body of work maybe a few months before having gone to Sweden. And so these works actually weren't even titled when we received them back. And that's how sort of fast the turnaround time was. And in Sweden, they were seen by a select few who were part of this exchange, but never before have they been seen by the public.
And so what are some of the themes that Sidibe's work through these works that, you know, haven't been seen in over 30 years, what kind of themes and issues does this exhibition and the work deal with?
So there's this moment in her life is quite quite a big sort of change going on in her life between the loss of a close friend and mentor, as well as being exiled from her rural home in Mpumalanga and being forced to live in Johannesburg. She deals with kind of the loss of her home, the loss of friendships, the loss of a kind of indigenous knowledge system that she grew up around, having been forced into domesticity at the age of 16 and forced to work in the homes of privileged people who for all accounts didn't understand. And she's speaking to a level of spiritual ancestry where she's depicting these images outside of a physical realm. They are depictions of spirit animals and ancestors, mm-hmm. in a kind of narrative prophecy where anyone is open to read them, and they're interpretive in a kind of plethora of readings.
Yeah. And I also see, I was reading a release about the exhibition, and it said that not only does it look at Masidibi's early artistic work, but it also gives us a sense, or it shows us quite a pivotal moment where she transforms her style. Where she changes the way in which she does her art. Tell us about that transformation or that change stylistically.
So that's also got to do with her sort of exile from her home, but this sort of pivotal juncture in her life comes at a time when she starts to work at a place called the Johannesburg Art Foundation. And there she starts to explore a more abstracted and metaphysical kind of landscape, one that's informed by her mind rather than just by what she's sort of seeing around her. And so this juncture kind of happens in her life right at the time that these artworks get lost. And it's recovering this kind of lost moment in her artistic journey that before now had been underrepresented in her kind of body of work.
This exhibition is in partnership with the Embassy of Sweden. Tell us their contribution to this exhibition, but also what Mercy Dibe's work tells us about, I guess, the exchange of knowledge between South Africa and Sweden.
You know, the Embassy of Sweden have helped us sort of materialize this exhibition and have been co-sponsors to basically fund the exhibition. And we're very grateful for their partnership, along with Everard Reed, who are Masabidi's representatives and helped to frame the artwork as well, which was fantastic. You know, what it says about her willingness to communicate and also a kind of lack of anger and a willingness to forgive is quite remarkable, because she was the reason we've named the exhibition The Walking House is because she was compelled by her grandmother to be a walking house and knock on the doors of other houses. These are physical bodies in the sense, and to communicate with them, to share her knowledge and to be received by them. And so this exhibition is kind of embodying that communication, a willingness and openness, a desire to communicate and connect more than anything, a desire to work for the youth so that she might be able to impart not only her knowledge, but her grandmother's and all her grandparents' knowledges.
There's been a lot of conversation, not just in the South African context, but definitely in the South African context, particularly at our institutions of higher learning, about this idea of decolonizing. And it appears that this work, these artworks, also look at this process, and it's described as the often uncomfortable and disordered process of decolonizing. Tell us about that and how the work deals with that particular topic, and whether, in fact, it does offer, you know, a kind of a reference, a resource for young people, or even if you aren't a young person, trying to think about these very difficult ideas of decolonization.
Absolutely. And I think that you touch on something really important there, because this idea of decolonization is one that is being mentioned a lot, but I think that we don't really have any kind of clear methodology towards what it looks like. And so I believe that Masabidi's work offers us an opportunity to reflect on what is outside of a kind of colonial mindset, outside of a frame of mind that embodies a kind of classification or a kind of rigidity to what it is. In fact, she refutes the ideas of being both a feminist artist and a resistance artist, because she in many ways doesn't want to be kind of concretized into one idea. In fact, it's about a kind of fluidity. For us and for her, I think The Walking House embodies a kind of an affirmative refusal, one that's really kind of working towards a collective engagement and a confrontation of a socio-political kind of status quo. And for us, that offers a kind of moment of reflection. And I think that that's where we can begin to develop and build this decolonial frame of mind that isn't fixed, that is rather open to walking and moving.
And for you, Gabriel, I imagine this was quite a big moment, or quite an emotional process of curating this exhibition. These works, which we thought were lost, we then find them 32 years later. They're now available to the public for the first time. I imagine even for Mercy Dibe, the works that she thought she'd lost, and then they become available to her. Tell us a little bit about what this experience has been like for you as someone co-curating this exhibition.
Yeah, it has been quite surreal. I've also had the deep and wonderful privilege of going to Sweden, collecting the works, and interviewing a number of people who were involved in finding them and looking for, there are still 5 missing oil paintings from her early period of artistic exploration. But more than that, it has been an incredible honor to listen and to learn from someone who has so much wisdom and knowledge to share. She's a storyteller, and she provides so much wisdom for this world. And I think all we can do is create a space to listen and to better understand her stories, her perspectives. And I think that we are doing that. We've opened the exhibition for many walkabouts and many discussions with lots of different historically and currently important people. I'm opening up histories and really engaging quite personally and deeply with her and her knowledge systems.
The exhibition is running until the 17th of May. Where can we find information about the walkabout? And is there a cost to see the exhibition at the UJ Art Gallery?
There's no cost. It's absolutely free. Everyone is more than welcome, and we would encourage both school groups and individuals of any age to come and view the exhibition. And there is more information about the walkabouts on the UJ website if you just Google Nklo Etsamayang or the Walking House UJ exhibition. You will find that online.
Gabriel, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. That is the co-creator of Nklo Etsamayang, an exhibition by Ma Sidibe at the UJ Art Gallery, Gabriel Bard, joining us this morning.